1230 AM, W255 DN Wausau. And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
This week on Viewpoints.
These were just summer rainstorms that had way more water than anyone could have expected and ended up just absolutely inundating big parts of the state.
Is anywhere safe from climate change anymore? Then.
We vacillate in this country and have for, 150 years on rehabilitation versus punishment.
How several states are experimenting with new forms of juvenile rehabilitation. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just $10. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices. All for just $10 every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax, tips, and fees extra.
You ever try fixing your car and realize you're missing that one part? Yeah, been there. That's why eBay's my go-to. They've got millions of parts, guaranteed to fit. I'm talking brake pads for when yours have seen one too many miles of stop and go. Oil filters, because you don't mess around with your engine care. Even got this cold air intake on my watch list. I might just go for it. To keep the ride cool and your DIY streak hot. Find all the parts you need at prices you'll love. Guaranteed to fit every time. eBay. Things. People. Love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
People used to think they could outrun climate change, move north, head inland, get away from heavily forested regions. But the truth is, there's no hiding from it anymore. The last decade was the hottest ever recorded. And with that heat came change, fast, unpredictable, everywhere. Flooded subways in New York, wildfires choking the air in Los Angeles, snowstorms in towns that don't even own snowplows. These aren't one-offs, they're stacking up, and they're changing how we live.
Climate change has historically, for the past few decades, been something that we're thinking about in terms of future impacts. But the reality is that we are seeing the effects of climate change in our daily lives every day, whether we know it or not.
That's Anna Weber, a senior policy analyst on the Climate Adaptation Team at the Natural Resources Defense Council. According to U.S. Census Bureau data, in 2022, 3.2 million U.S. adults were displaced or evacuated due to extreme weather-related events. Fast forward to 2023, and more than 500,000 of these people were still living in limbo. The increased frequency of these extreme weather events has more Americans feeling anxious. The hard truth is, there's no guaranteed safe haven. The impacts may look different from place to place, but no community is completely unaffected by the rising number of natural disasters.
It's not just major disasters. It's also things like, if you live near the coast, high tide is getting a little bit higher with climate change. And that might mean that you have to leave a little earlier for work because there's flooding on the roads certain days of the month and it makes traffic worse. It might mean that it's a little bit warmer for a little bit longer in the year, every year. And your local school district has to update its elementary schools because they didn't used to need air conditioning, but now they do. And it might mean that the way that your job operates is changing. If you work in agriculture or construction, or even people who work indoors who are facing higher temperatures. There's a lot of small ways that we might not immediately think of as being tied to climate change, but they all add up to really big effects that we're seeing across basically all aspects of our society.
One shift is that many places are dealing with weather patterns they've never seen before. This has wide-ranging effects on the local economy, tourism, emergency preparedness, and more.
For example, some places are more prone to large wildfires. Some places are more prone to strong hurricanes. Some places are more prone to heat waves, and so on and so forth. So part of what is important is understanding what the risks are in your location and what you can do to be prepared for those risks. One thing, though, that I will mention is that when we're thinking about the effects of climate change, sometimes these hazards, these dangers are shifting. And you might basically be getting other people's weather in a certain sense. So maybe you didn't used to have to worry too much about heat waves in Portland, Oregon, or Seattle, Washington. But as we've seen in recent years, there have been really serious heat events happening in those locations. Or maybe you didn't used to have to worry too much about drought or about fire. But changing conditions mean that those hazards are now happening in places or with frequencies or intensities that we haven't seen before.
Weber believes that at this point, we can no longer rely on past information to make decisions about the future. We have to think about what the climate is like now and use that to inform how and where we live. And looking to the future, lowering carbon emissions will be an important part of mitigating the impact of climate change. But this requires complex policy implementation by federal, state, and local governments before it's too late to change course.
We are at a point of no return when it comes to climate change. And globally, we need to work together, you know, as countries to lower these emissions. Because if we reach a certain point of temperature change, I think it's 1.5 degrees Celsius, it seems really small, but we're talking about irreversible, catastrophic impacts of climate change.
That's Kiera Rutherford, Director of Partner Engagement at the Climate Action Campaign. Rutherford highlights some of the climate policy progress that the Biden administration made. This includes the Inflation Reduction Act, the Bipartisan Infrastructure Law, and working with the Environmental Protection Agency to lower climate change-causing emissions. Speaking of previous administrations, President Richard Nixon created the EPA in 1970 amid a public outcry following events like the Cuyahoga River fire and an offshore oil spill in California, which brought attention to water pollution issues and heightened environmental awareness. Fast forward to today, and we're seeing a big rollback in climate policy and funding. Over the last few months, President Donald Trump has withdrawn from several international climate agreements, like the Paris Accord, a key initiative driving global cooperation against climate change. The current administration is also focused on expanding the fossil fuel sector. There's been efforts to revive stalled pipeline projects and expand oil and gas leasing. Lastly, environmental reviews and regulations have been scaled back, making it easier for fossil fuel development to move forward. Weber and Rutherford's respective organizations, among others like the ACLU and Earth Justice, are at the forefront of pushing back against these large-scale rollbacks through litigation and public education. One important perspective is reframing the notion that natural disasters are actually natural.
Climate disasters are happening every day. One thing, you know, in the federal climate advocacy space is trying to make sure folks are understanding the connections between pollution and climate change and extreme weather events. We're kind of stopping the language of natural disasters because a lot of the things that are happening we know are linked to pollution, like tailpipe emissions, for example, was the highest cause of climate change causing pollution.
In other words, we're in this together, and progress when it comes to climate change needs to be intentional and consistent. Weber emphasizes that there's no magical safe haven where people are 100% protected from these changes.
It can be hopeful to try and determine whether there's going to be places that are less affected by climate change and think, oh, maybe I can move there. Or use some of the lessons that they're using there to, you know, help me where I live. And so you might see articles that talk about places like climate havens, for example. But I really want to caution people away from that kind of thinking, both because there's no such thing as a place that is unaffected from the impacts of climate change. And all of those places, even if they may be less affected by things like major fires or major hurricanes, are still seeing their own impacts. What I want to encourage people to do is think about how to be prepared for and resilient to challenges that their own communities are facing, instead of thinking about a place where you can go to be magically safe from climate change, because unfortunately, those places just don't exist.
You can find more resources on this topic by visiting nrdc.org, actionclimate.com, and viewpointsradio.org. To find out more about our guests, Anna Weber and Kiera Rutherford, also head to viewpointsradio.org. This story was written and produced by Star Rock. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, keeping kids out of the revolving door of lifelong incarceration when Viewpoints returns.
The new KFC Dunkin' Bucket with juicy original recipe tenders, new mashed potato poppers, crispy fries, plus three sauces that fit right on top of the lid so you can dunk anywhere. You can dunk at the game, dunk while security points to the no outside food sign, and dunk as 20,000 people watch you and your Dunkin' Bucket get removed from the stadium. Dunk almost anywhere with the new $7 KFC Dunkin' Bucket or get the double Dunkin' Bucket for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Whether your Easter plans have you stepping out on Sunday or hosting a group at home, Macy's Easter Sale has great deals on everything you'll need to celebrate, like 50% off dressy brunch looks to level up your whole family style, and 50 to 60% off hosting must-haves, like the classic Butterfly Meadow Collection from Lennox. But don't miss out, because just like an Easter egg hunt, there's so much to discover. But you gotta move quick at Macy's Easter Sale today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just 10 bucks. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices. All for just 10 bucks every Tuesday. Only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary. Tax, tips, and fees extra.
Our daughter Jessie loves playing detective.
A clue.
But since we discovered she has sensitive skin, we've been playing detective too.
We thought the problem was our puppy.
But it was actually our old detergent.
Aha. Uh-huh.
So we switched to Tide Free and Gentle. Tide Free and Gentle provides an excellent Tide clean, and it doesn't leave behind irritating residues like dyes or perfumes, so it's gentle on your skin.
Case closed.
If it's got to be clean, it's got to be Tide Free and Gentle.
When Marianne Atkins was 6 years old, her drug addict mother became incarcerated. The child was sent to live with her estranged father, who also had a drug problem. He regularly withheld food and locked Marianne in her bedroom. Neighbors often complained to the police about her screaming when he beat her. Authorities finally removed Marianne from the home at the age of 10 and placed her in foster care. But by that time, she was severely traumatized, both physically and emotionally, which negatively affected her behavior.
Like standing on top of a table screaming, or stealing other kids' lunch. Things that are red flags. And so why didn't foster care work? Number one, the setup she was coming into the system with.
That's Claudia Rowe, a journalist with the Seattle Times and author of Wards of the State, The Long Shadow of American Foster Care. She's reported on juvenile justice, child welfare, and public schools for years, and says that the foster care system doesn't focus on the crucial issue of early emotional bonding.
In my reporting for this book, what I saw again and again as really formative is the system's discouragement of bonds, of bonding, of attachment. It's designed for kids to move around. If they're not going to be adopted by a foster parent, they're going to move to another home. And the foster parent, too, withholds a certain kind of affection. You know, they have to, because they know the child will be moving on. Their own heart, right, is at risk. So I certainly talked with foster parents who say, I love the kids, but I have to protect myself. I don't want them to call me mama anymore, call me auntie, just to create that divide for themselves.
Rowe says this lack of emotional attachment means that foster kids don't weather the storms of frustration, humiliation, or impatience that occur in all our lives. They haven't been able to cultivate the emotional reserves necessary to do so. This means that instead of working through these feelings, these kids lash out at whomever or whatever is close by. Marianne was no exception. Her behavioral outbursts eventually escalated to violence. At age 16, she killed a 21-year-old man and was charged and convicted as an adult. She received a 19-year sentence for the crime. But many experts wonder whether adolescents, whose brains are not yet fully developed and who've dealt with traumatizing events since childhood, should be sentenced as adults.
everybody is sort of searching for the answer, right? What is the answer? I mean, we vacillate in this country and have for, 150 years on rehabilitation versus punishment. And I think the question is, where does that balance land and where does it work? And it depends what you mean by work, right? It depends what your goal is.
And the stakes are high for juvenile offenders. Is a young person's life worth rehabilitating? This is a question that lawmakers in six states, California, Montana, Oregon, Wisconsin, Washington, and Utah, say the answer is yes. Legislators in these states have ruled that minors who commit violent crimes, even murder, will not head to adult jail. Instead, these young offenders are placed in juvenile rehabilitation centers until they reach 24 years of age, or, as in the cases of Washington State and Utah, 25. During this period, they'll receive regular therapy and higher education opportunities. Marianne was one of the first benefactors of this new law when it was passed in Washington State back in 2018. Roe says that after 4 years in juvenile rehabilitation at Echo Glen Children's Center, Marianne's transformation was profound.
More thoughtful, less withheld and guarded, less constantly angry. She could laugh. She could express herself. And I think most important, she could express herself with words. She could advocate for herself and for other foster youth, speaking to lawmakers. This was so radically different from the red-faced, sobbing, gasping girl who I saw in court.
Roe attributes that transformation to the long-term stability and safety Marianne experienced for the first time in her life.
This time at Echo Glen was really the only point in her life where she was safe, where she knew she was safe, where she would be fed. She knew she was not going to be cold and on the street and potentially at somebody's mercy.
During those 4 years, Marianne had one case manager. In foster care, however, caseworkers, social workers, foster parents, and psychologists rotated out of her life without warning. But that stability ended when Marianne aged out of juvenile rehabilitation at age 25 and was sent to adult prison.
Seems like maybe all the growth that you've enabled through juvenile rehabilitation is going to be erased when you just send these people right back into prison. This law is fairly new and it's been a quite rocky rollout. And I would say that there's a lot of adjusting going on now. So that question, does this make sense to provide for people who are going back into prison? That question is definitely in the air. When I asked this question of the authorities, I would hear all the time, well, the tools that a young person gets in juvenile rehabilitation will make their time in prison better.
She says Marianne isn't doing well in adult prison, but that she's holding on as best she can. But so are the victim's family, who missed the loved one she killed.
The experience of a victim's family, in this case, their wound, cannot be forgotten or minimized. Does taking away a young person's life satisfy that wound? I think it's a little early to say in the case of Marianne and her victim's family.
But Roe has reported on other teen homicide cases and has been moved by victims' families who would choose rehabilitation for the adolescent offender over adult prison.
I'm thinking of this one mom in particular. Her daughter was 14. Her daughter's killer was 13. He got an adult sentence in the 1990s during the super predator era. He went away for 20 years. And I went back to that girl's mom. And she was broken by the whole thing, including that. She didn't want that kid's life to be taken away at 20 years in prison. He didn't come out till he's in his mid-30s. She didn't feel good about that either. We are all sort of groping our way toward a better answer.
What does seem to be working in the youth rehabilitation program are smaller facilities that operate more like secure group homes and house 20 to 30 youth.
We need something for this sort of emerging adult age, that 18 to 25 year old zone where brains are still forming, change is still possible, and you don't want to lock in really sort of antisocial behaviors by sending that young person into an adult prison environment where all they are doing is sort of bulking up in defense. We are not there. I will tell you, we are working toward a solution as a country. We are not there.
Claudia Rowe's book, Wards of the State, The Long Shadow of American Foster Care, is available now online and can be requested through your local bookstore. To find out more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson. This segment is sponsored by Capital One. Banking with Capital One helps you keep more money in your wallet with no fees or minimums on checking accounts and no overdraft fees. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com/bank for details. Capital One N.A. Member FDIC.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
The new KFC Dunkin' Bucket with juicy original recipe tenders, new mashed potato poppers, crispy fries, plus three sauces that fit right on top of the lid, so you can dunk anywhere. You can dunk at the game. Dunk while security points to the no outside food sign. And dunk as 20,000 people watch you and your Dunkin' Bucket get removed from the stadium. Dunk almost anywhere with the new $7 KFC Dunkin' Bucket or get the double Dunkin' Bucket for $25. Prices and participation vary while supplies last. Taxes, tips, and fees extra.
Whether your Easter plans have you stepping out on Sunday or hosting a group at home, Macy's Easter Sale has great deals on everything you'll need to celebrate. Like 50% off dressy brunch looks to level up your whole family style. And 50 to 60% off hosting must-haves like the classic Butterfly Meadow Collection from Lennox. But don't miss out, because just like an Easter egg hunt, there's so much to discover. But you gotta move quick. At Macy's Easter Sale, today. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. Small business owners across the U.S. are feeling the pressure as President Trump's tariffs threaten their bottom line. From small grocery stores to clothing boutiques to local mom-and-pop shops, owners are having to make some tough decisions. Either absorb the extra cost or pass them on to customers and risk losing business. The reality is that many small retailers rely heavily on imported goods and materials, but with rising tariffs, the prices are quickly becoming unsustainable. Unlike large corporations, smaller shops don't have the resources or flexibility to quickly shift production or negotiate better deals. Oftentimes, they're charged a higher price for these goods to begin with because they're not buying as much inventory as a big box retailer like Walmart or Target. Now, as prices rise, owners will need to make up the difference somewhere. This can mean raising prices for customers, cutting back on staff, or reducing store hours. You might be asking, why can't owners try to supply their own stores with made-in-the-USA products and avoid these tariffs? Every case is different, but building new inventory streams can take years to set up. For a small clothing or gift shop, it may not be financially possible to move manufacturing to the U.S. and pay for increased rent, labor, materials, and more. And for restaurants or grocery stores, many of their products are simply not grown in the U.S., leaving no choice but to take on the added cost of tariffs. Zooming out, this isn't just about higher price tags. It's about the health of local communities. Small businesses are often the heart of neighborhoods, creating jobs and driving local economies. Hopefully, these places will be able to weather the political storm. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. Netflix's latest TV sensation is an unlikely candidate I don't think any of us saw coming. The show is called Adolescence, and it tells the gripping and devastating story of a 13-year-old boy arrested on suspicion of murdering a female classmate. Each of the four episodes of the British crime drama cover a different aspect of the case. The first episode is an arrest. The second is about investigators looking for clues. The third shows a forensic psychology interview, and the fourth depicts the case's impact on the boy's family. While true crime series have dominated the charts in recent years, adolescence is something different. First of all, it's not true. But second of all, it's not so neat and tidy. Most true crime series have years worth of case files to explore, and often they have a neat resolution, a trial, a verdict, a devoted investigator who won't let it go. Adolescence instead lays bare the stark and unsettling toll that a brutal murder case can take on a whole community of people. And again, the show is an absolute sensation. Within its first 24 days, Adolescence became the fourth most popular English language season of TV in the history of the Netflix platform, with more streams in less than a month than juggernauts like Stranger Things Season 2 and every season of Bridgerton. While I can't fully account for why so many people are flocking to such a story, I can say that the series intelligently navigates a number of pressing cultural issues facing Britain and America today. Namely, Adolescence discusses the role of internet influencers on young boys, the difficult-to-understand world of social media, and masculinity in the digital age. With excellent scripts from co-creators Jack Thorne and Stephen Graham, an amazing approach where every episode is filmed in a single take, as well as stunning performances from Graham himself, newcomer Owen Cooper, and really the entire cast, Adolescence is a show likely to stay with you for a long while after its brief runtime. I'm Evan Rook.
Anywhere else, Tuesday is just, well, Tuesday. But if you're at KFC, Tuesday is $10 Tuesday, which means you can get 8 hot, juicy drums and thighs for just $10. Let me say that again. 8 pieces of hot, juicy, original recipe chicken, hand-breaded in 11 herbs and spices. All for just $10 every Tuesday, only at KFC. Guess Tuesday isn't just Tuesday anymore. It's finger-licking good. Prices and participation may vary, tax, tips, and fees extra.
It's me, Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash. I see those dry elbows, baby. But don't worry, get moisturized right in the shower. So hydrated, you can skip the lotion after.
Don't want to see it dry no more. Skin so moisturized with body wash.
Look at you now, no more dry skin. Your skin gets the moisture it craves with
Olay Indulgent Moisture Body Wash.
That's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
Hey, Wisconsin, it's construction season, and the Wisconsin DOT wants to help you safely navigate work zones. Check 511WI.gov or download the app for road work or closures on your route. Know before you go with 511 Wisconsin, sponsored by the Wisconsin DOT.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home. It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
This week on Viewpoints.
I wrote the book of the history of March Madness, and yet my grandmother can do better than me in a pool.
Inside the wildest, most unpredictable tournament in sports. Then.
We are built as pattern-seeking and novelty-seeking creatures. It's part of how we survive.
Making sense of our world one small bit at a time. I'm Marty Peterson.
And I'm Gary Price. These stories in depth this week on your public affairs magazine, Viewpoints.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Progressive knows if you have to choose between everyday life and your RV, RV wins.
What, are you going to take the RV to the lake or clean out your closet?
RV wins!
Putting the dishes away or taking the RV camping?
RV wins!
Cleaning the fridge or taking a trip to the beach?
RV wins!
You might want to clean the fridge real quick because, you know, mold.
We clean out the fridge, then take the RV out.
With Progressive, you can bundle your RV with your home or auto and save with a discount and spend more time enjoying those savings in your RV. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company, affiliates, and other insurers. Not available in all states and situations.
Every March, basketball and non-basketball fans alike come together for one of the biggest events in sports, March Madness. From filling out brackets to cheering on their favorite teams, millions across the U.S. double down on the tournament. But while the NCAA basketball tournament is a cultural phenomenon today, that wasn't always the case.
The NCAA tournament began in 1939, and it started in what I would call inauspicious conditions. So it was actually the third college basketball national tournament on the scene. So in 1937, the first tournament on the scene was what's now known as the NAIA College Basketball Tournament. It was a national event hosted in Kansas City. And then in 1938, that was the first year of the NIT, the National Invitation Tournament, that was hosted out of Madison Square Garden by a series of sports writers. And so when the NCAA tournament began in 1939, that was the third one and the least well-known out of those three.
That's Chad Carlson, a professor of kinesiology at Hope College in Michigan and author of Making March Madness. Carlson says that when the tournament began, it was actually taken less seriously than its competitors.
In fact, it had fewer teams than the NAIA tournament. They had 32. NCAA tournament only had 8 teams in its event, and it was much less prestigious than the NIT, which was able to offer more money to its participating teams and had more fans because Madison Square Garden was the largest basketball arena at the time, and it was easy to fill that in New York City. The NCAA tournament in 1939, that original event, actually lost money. They lost $2,500, and part of that was because they couldn't find appropriate venues where they could drive up, you know, ticket revenue.
The following year, the tournament was hosted in Kansas, and luck was on its side. With the University of Kansas making the final, ticket sales soared, giving the tournament some much-needed financial stability. By 1942, the tournament made its way to Madison Square Garden, boosting its recognition and profits even further. The momentum continued into the 60s as more games were broadcast nationwide on networks like NBC. But it wasn't until 1985, when the tournament expanded from 32 to 64 teams, that it became a widely anticipated annual event. The bigger pool encouraged more spectators to make brackets, an activity that's still wildly popular with fans today.
The bracket is a big part of why March Madness is so exciting and addicting, and participating in a bracket, if you're competitive, can be really exciting. It can connect you with other friends who are participating in brackets as well and being competitive with them. And then, of course, if you're using money or betting with your bracket, then there's the potential to win money.
That's Jamie Shapiro, professor and director of Masters in Sport and Performance Psychology program at the University of Denver in Colorado. She says that the ability to compete against family, friends, and coworkers can make March Madness more addicting to watch than other sporting events. It also has some unique features that make fans more invested in it than other tournaments.
Sports in general are addicting for us, right? So our consumption of sports, it seems like this unquenchable thirst, right? You put more sports on television, we're going to watch more sports, right? You stream more sporting events, we're going to watch more sporting events. So part of it has to do with just sport in general. But I think the other part that has to do with it is just the chaos. There is madness, all the upsets. We can watch NBA playoff basketball, and it's every level is a best of five or best of seven series, right? And so generally the better team wins over the course of five or seven games. Same thing would be the case for the baseball playoffs, right? Three, five, seven game series, the best team oftentimes comes out on top. But in a one-off game like this, I mean, it's just there's something really special about that, that you really just have to be on for 40 minutes or your opponents have to be off for 40 minutes, and really anything can happen. And part of the fun is even if your bracket is terrible and you finish last in your pool, there might still be that one upset that you picked.
Without upsets, March Madness wouldn't be March Madness. Many fans can't help but root for the underdog. In fact, psychological research has found that people are more likely to root for lower-seeded or Cinderella teams to win.
There are a few reasons that people want to root for the underdog or see that Cinderella story. One is that they might identify with that underdog, saying, I'm an underdog in some ways, maybe at work or in other areas of their life. And so if they can see a team outperform somebody that they shouldn't have outperformed, that could give themselves hope that they might be able to overcome challenges in their own lives. I think there's also just more emotion when an underdog wins. So, you know, when a team wins that's supposed to win, then your emotions might be, okay, that was supposed to happen. But if there is an underdog team that beats a team that they weren't supposed to beat, there's emotional stimulation with that. So it could be good emotion, really being excited that somebody who wasn't supposed to win actually wins. Or it could be anger or frustration if you were counting on that higher ranked team to win.
While a Cinderella team like last year's NC State typically makes a lot of noise, no one gets more attention during March Madness than a superstar. Unlike other team sports, basketball is unique in the fact that one player can change the trajectory of an entire team. And while this has been observed across various levels and leagues, this holds especially true for women's basketball right now. In fact, players like Iowa's Caitlin Clark and USC's Juju Watkins are credited with making last year's tournament the most watched women's March Madness in history.
The other thing that makes basketball special is the ability of one player to take over a game in ways that you just can't in other team sports that just rely so heavily on everybody on the team doing their job. If you have one player that's hot in college basketball, right, they can take their team to levels that were previously unforeseen. And so last year in the tournament, we saw a number of teams that had these, like, you know, once in a generation type of stars that really drove interest, right? Everyone wanted to watch Caitlin Clark and wanted to watch Angel Reese and wanted to watch Cameron Brink. And, you know, the list goes on. So that it was a really star-studded cast of players that have all now moved on to the WNBA. So I think that the water level goes up whenever we have that kind of player. I think what will hurt the tournament a little bit is Juju Watkins tearing her ACL, but you still have this really dominant star, and that's fun for people to watch. So I think we'll continue to see the popularity of women's college basketball grow as we have more and more stars that come into the game and can capitalize on their fame while they're in college.
Viewership has dipped for women's games this year due to the absence of star players like Clark, who have moved on to the WNBA. But even without them, ratings are still up 43% compared to 2 years ago. And this impact goes beyond basketball. The hype around women's March Madness has bled into other women's sports, like soccer and hockey, that are seeing increased attention and revenue. Clearly, both March Madness tournaments are trendsetters in the sports industry, so much so that other leagues and teams are trying to recreate the magic.
I noticed this year that college football tried to mimic the March Madness bracket style, and I think it is because they have seen the success of March Madness in getting both basketball fans and non-basketball fans to follow along when people participate in brackets, again, connecting with friends over who wins, who loses, who wins the bracket, that football has modeled after that.
Despite other sports' best efforts, nothing quite matches March Madness. The tournament unites fans in a way that few other sporting events can replicate. It also builds community within the sport, allowing teams that would never play each other otherwise to face off on a national stage. By doing so, the tournament is not only shaping the future of the sport, but is also creating some really great basketball.
A lot of times, teams are seeing each other, you know, firsthand for the first time. Of course, they watch video on each other. They've seen game film. But you don't get BYU and Alabama playing against each other very regularly. You see Houston and Purdue that don't play each other, you know, very regularly. They're just in different leagues, and there's so many teams to play against in the regular season. So I think part of it is the novelty of playing against different teams. Part of it is the novelty of taking a team like Mount St. Mary's that has to go up against Duke, right? Duke's not scheduling them very regularly in the regular season, and so they get an opportunity to play against them, and there's something special about the intersection of two teams at totally different levels.
To find out more about Chad Carlson, Jamie Shapiro, and all our featured guests, visit viewpointsradio.org. You can find Carlson's book, Making March Madness, on Amazon.com or request copies to be stocked at your local bookstore. For more behind the scenes, check out Viewpoints Radio on X, Facebook, and Instagram. This segment was written and produced by our associate producer, Grace Galante. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Studio production by Jason Dickey. I'm Gary Price.
Coming up, the calming effect of a healthy sense of curiosity when Viewpoints returns.
What if your limited inventory had unlimited potential? What if your biggest risk was not taking one? What if you could make every move matter? Bank of America's Business Solutions can help bring your biggest what-ifs within reach. Find out how our digital tools, cutting-edge insights, and trusted expertise can work for your business. What would you like the power to do? Visit bankofamerica.com/bankingforbusiness to learn more. Bank of America is proud to be the official bank sponsor of FIFA World Cup 2026.
At Charmin, we heard you shouldn't talk about going to the bathroom in public, so we decided to sing about it.
Charmin Ultra Strong. You can use less, better than the rest. Charmin Ultra Strong. Your booty past the clean tech. Yeah. Salmon wave texture, it's the best. Study up, teach a lesson on fresh. Your booty past the clean tech.
Yes, sir.
Charmin Ultra Strong.
Charmin Ultra Strong with Diamond Weave Texture cleans better than the leading one-ply brand, so you can use less. Enjoy the go with Charmin.
This weekend, only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Can your pad absorb everything and stay fresh? Always Radiant with Flex Foam can. Get up to zero leaks, zero odor, and zero feel. Because Flex Foam is the only pad with a flexible foam core. You heard me, foam. Always Radiant is so thin, it feels like nothing, yet protects like nothing else. Can your pad do that? For up to 100% leak-free protection, try Always Radiant to see what Flex Foam can do for you. Rapid change in the world can make anyone feel a little anxious at times, or even very anxious. How do we deal with uncertainty without letting our anxiety spin out of control? A. Kendra Green is a visiting professor of English at the University of Missouri and author of No Less Strange and Wonderful, Essays in Curiosity. Green maintains an even keel by staying engaged and curious about the world around her. She makes a conscious decision to notice the small things that don't usually grab our attention.
I mean, I think it denies a certain part of our humanity, right? We are built as pattern-seeking and novelty-seeking creatures. It's part of how we survive. There's a reason why it releases dopamine and other chemicals that incite us to do it more often. The thrill seeking we see is part of that. But definitely the more we know about the world, the better able we are to survive it. That's why we have the whole technology of stories to begin with, a way of carrying forward the stuff that's going to matter. Paying attention to things that aren't normally taken seriously, not normally paid attention to or looked at for very long, it's actually really easy to do. There's such an easy barrier to get over, right? It takes so little time to pay more attention to a thing than it normally gets, and the rewards of it are huge.
For instance, while Green was a curator at the Museum of Contemporary Photography in Chicago, she took pleasure in helping others dig deeper than what was just visible at surface level. In this case, it involved examining a seemingly boring photo.
If you've never seen an actual Roy de Carava print, and you probably haven't, right, this narrow band of tonal scale, all in these dark, dark colors, a neighbor watching television through a window at night, a table setting at a diner. We couldn't reproduce them technologically any other way for a long time. So people just didn't know you had to come see the original if you were going to understand the depth and the texture and the beauty of them. And so I would know I could pull this out. I would know I could pull out maybe some Gary Winogrand street photography, pull out things that would make a student say, it's not that interesting. And I could say, I know, let me catch you up on the history. This is the person that did the thing that became so influential that you take it as a given now. The reason you can think this isn't interesting is this same thing.
Last month, she shared a moment of wonder with her mother as they observed the total lunar eclipse from their respective time zones.
And I told her I'd read about NASA describing it as the color, that reddish, warm, sort of roiling color, that it is a matter of wavelengths and a bunch of things. But part of the reflection and the bounce that you're seeing is all of the sunrises and sunsets from the edge of the world. That corona that surrounds us being reflected in a place where we can see it. And she said something to me like, that is the sort of information that makes me want to never die.
It's that sense of natural awe and wonder that Green says can lift us out of all overwhelming anxious thoughts.
There are facts and ideas and stories that will positively change our lives, right? They will just cause us to reconsider what is possible. And flip us upside down, never to be the same, right? Expanded, illuminated in some way. And I think the best we can do is to seek them out and to share as many of them as we possibly can.
Sharing is the key word here. As an essayist, that's what Green does. She shares her thoughts and ideas with others. What inspired her to do so was receiving letters from family and friends when she was a teen and writing back to them. She's attempting to bring back this lost art form through her students.
I've been thinking about, I suppose, my origin story, right? How I became a writer. And I wasn't one of those kids that was writing plays that everybody had to be recruited to act in. I wasn't making poetry. I wasn't writing songs. I just wasn't that sort of young person. I didn't find the essay until I was in my 20s. But a thing I've always known is that I love the mail. Right, the post, the letter, the postcard, all of it, right, materially, tactilely, the great different stamps you didn't know existed until there was one on a letter to you. And I became an essayist because I was writing letters home that I was trying to explain where I was and what I was encountering. I think one of the best things you can do is write a letter for any number of reasons. Think about who needs to hear from you. Think about who you need to talk to. Think about who you want to invite to witness with you.
Green set up a free letter box in the University of Missouri English department where people can donate old stationery they aren't using anymore.
It is incredible to watch how much is coming out of the old stationery drawers. It's like clearing out your closet every so often, right? There are things that just don't fit anymore. They're not right for you. And oh my goodness, watching it all go out again, because we just needed the means, we just needed a little reminder for this, I mean, really old technology, this amazing invention. Can you believe the postal system, that it can take an idea, it can take a piece of language, it can take news and send it around the world, right? You can write something down and within a week, someone else you cannot otherwise touch will laugh.
In her eyes, anxiety often arises when we're faced with the unknown. She suggests putting this stream of thoughts and worries down on paper.
There are a variety of writers who have a phrase to the effect of, I write to know what I'm thinking. Definitively embodying an idea, right? Giving it words, setting it down. It clarifies, it provides structure, it gives narrative, it makes meaning that wasn't there before. There are things that you can only think on the page. They don't actually exist until you have to channel what you're perceiving, what you're grappling with, into an isolated form that can be shared with someone else. So I think the writing is an incredible tool, both for observation and analysis and even documentation, never mind this dissemination of getting witnesses, of bringing someone along with you for thinking things through together.
The next time you're feeling anxious about breaking stories you hear on the news or the uncertainty of your current situation, maybe go for a walk. Look up at the sky or look down at the ground and notice all the plants or insects. Be curious about them or about the people you see or snippets of conversations you hear. Go home and write about them in a letter to a friend or family member you haven't written to in ages.
We need to seek and we need to share. These two things sit side by side. And I think they're the two deep ways that we know what matters, right? We find it and then we share it.
A. Kendra Green's book, No Less Strange and Wonderful, Essays in Curiosity, is available now online and in select bookstores. To find out more about our guests this week, visit viewpointsradio.org. For more behind the scenes, search Viewpoints Radio on Instagram, X, and Facebook. This segment was written and produced by Polly Hansen. Our executive producer is Amira Zaveri. Our studio manager is Jason Dickey. I'm Marty Peterson.
Viewpoints returns in just a moment.
Have you tried hands-free Skechers slip-ins yet? Because if you haven't, you're missing out on technology that changes how you think about shoes. Let me explain what makes Skechers slip-ins so incredible. First, these are not just regular slip-on shoes. They're not just a pair of loafers without laces. Skechers slip-ins have laces, and once you tie them to fit your foot just right, you never have to tie them again. They also come in boots, dress shoes, sneakers, work shoes, sandals, and every other kind of shoe you wear every day. But what makes them different is the technology inside that lets you just step into them. There's a built-in hidden shoehorn that slides your foot in. Then a comfy heel pillow cushions your foot and keeps your shoe on securely. So they look, feel, and wear just like a pair of shoes you're used to. Except you don't have to bend down, struggle to put them on, or touch them. Just step in and go, completely hands-free. And everybody I know who tries them doesn't want to wear shoes that aren't Skechers slip-ins ever again. They're just that amazing. Try them at a Skechers store, Skechers.com, or wherever stylish footwear is sold.
This is Viewpoints Explained. I'm Ebony McMorris. For 8 years running, Finland has claimed the title of the world's happiest country. This annual report is compiled by the Wellbeing Research Center at the University of Oxford. As part of the study, researchers asked participants to rate their lives on a scale of 1 to 10, with 0 being the most discontent and 10 being the happiest. So what makes the citizens of this small Nordic nation so consistently content? It's not about money or status, but something more fundamental, a sense of community. The Finnish point to having strong ties with friends, family, community members, and say they feel supported by public welfare systems. But Finland isn't alone in this blissful state of mind. Other Nordic countries, including Denmark, Iceland, and Sweden, all round out the top spots in the report, sharing a unique mixture of strong social ties, routine access to nature, and a calmer pace of life. Meanwhile, the U.S. has slipped to the lowest position it's ever been, 24th place, as a growing number of Americans report feelings of disconnection, loneliness, and solitude. Maybe it's time to shift our focus from monetary gain and career success to instead building greater trust and deeper connections. That's Viewpoints Explained for this week. More in a moment.
We
Welcome to Culture Crash, where we examine what's new and old in entertainment. I've always been drawn to science fiction filmmaking. In part, that's because it allows the audience an avenue to explore those same questions humans have been asking for generations. Movies like Interstellar and Contact help us question the nature of the universe and family and, heck, even ourselves. A film like Arrival can explore so much about humanity and our behavior by looking at people through the prism of an alien race. Sometimes these stories can be scary or funny or adventurous, but at the end of the day, they're all just tales we tell each other around a fire, asking questions and proposing answers. Classics in the genre like 2001: A Space Odyssey and Solaris can often be seen as difficult or confusing. They may run long, sometimes they have subtitles or outdated visual effects, but they can actually be quite simple and incredibly rewarding if audiences go in understanding they may leave with more questions than answers. Gattaca is another sci-fi movie that gives audiences something of a moral quandary to consider. As technology advances and human beings become more and more in control of everything around us, some big questions await. And sometimes, like in the case of the movie Annihilation, sci-fi can just be one big expedition, with new terrors and delights around every corner. Sci-fi is a genre that aspires to prompt thought and discussion, and for that reason, there's always going to be an audience for it. I'm Evan Rook.
This weekend only at Macy's, it's our lowest prices of spring. How low? Diamond rings, pendants, and earrings, only $399, originally $1,500. Ninja blenders, now $89.99. And $395 men's designer suits, only $99.99. So if you're wondering why you should shop Macy's lowest prices sale, well, the name pretty much says it all. It's our lowest prices for one weekend only. Going on now at Macy's. Savings off already reduced prices. Exclusions apply.
Thanks for calling Discover. This is Nia.
Hi, Nia. It's Jennifer. Did you know that Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year?
Yeah, I work here.
Okay. I was just double checking. Get it?
Because Discover automatically doubles all the cash back you've earned at the end of your first year.
Oh, you get me, Nia.
You could say that I double get you.
I guess we've taken it too far.
You earn, we match. Discover cashback match. See terms at discover.com/creditcard.
And that's Viewpoints for this week. Follow us on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram to learn more about upcoming shows and find a library of past programs on Apple Podcasts, Google Play, and Spotify. Plus, you'll always find previous segments and more information about our guests at viewpointsradio.org. Join us again next week for another edition of Viewpoints.
Hello there, this is James,
Melissa,
Chad,
and Seth, inviting you to come work with us. Civic Media is looking for a full-time sales professional to work with existing and new broadcast and digital media clients.
We're a fast-growing company that offers competitive wages, benefits, a relaxed working environment that focuses on quality of life, and includes a team of support to reach our shared goals.
Join us in continuing what we have done for 80 years. Be a part of the community, put into the community, celebrate community.
Find out more by contacting Chuck Gennaro at 715-935-8030 or email chuck.gennaro@civicmedia.us. All inquiries are confidential. Civic Media Incorporated is an equal opportunity employer, and we look forward to you joining us.
So, how are the kids?
Well, Emily made the honor roll.
Oh, good for her.
Yeah, we're really proud of her. Tyler, on the other hand, though.
What's going on?
He's been moody lately, just feeling down and not like himself.
Oh, we've been there. Nick was struggling last spring. He was so anxious and stressed.
Really? What helped?
Well, he joined the soccer team. And ever since, he's been a lot happier. He has more energy, he's less stressed, and he's definitely in a better mood at home.
It's made a huge difference.
That's awesome.
Yeah, I'm glad he's getting out of the house, he's getting some exercise, and he's off his phone for once. It's been good for his mental health.
Sounds like it's been good for your mental health, too.
Participating in Wisconsin high school sports improves students' physical and mental health. Encourage your son or daughter to get involved. This message presented by the WIAA and the Wisconsin Athletic Directors Association.
You're listening to Bull Falls Radio.
WXCO 1230 AM, W255DN Wausau.
And always streaming on the Civic Media app.
CBS News Brief. At the Vatican, Easter greetings between the Pope,
Mr. to you, Father,
and Vice President J.D. Vance.
I know you've not been feeling great, but it's good to see you in better health.
The Pope and the Vice President, a Catholic convert, have clashing views on the Trump administration's treatment of migrants, among other topics. Vatican officials had no comment on the brief meeting. The Pope later delivered his traditional Easter greeting from a wheelchair on the Vatican balcony. Russian President Vladimir Putin's declared a 30-hour Easter ceasefire in Ukraine. Here's the BBC's Steve Rosenberg.
Russia's president wants the world to believe that he, the leader who ordered troops into Ukraine, is serious now about ending hostilities.
But in Kyiv, Ukrainian President Volodymyr Zelensky claims Russia's already violating that 30-hour ceasefire. After slamming Oklahoma yesterday, that big storm front is moving east.
Missouri and Arkansas, tornado threat, damaging wind threat, and large hail.
CBS News meteorologist Andrew Kozak reporting. CBS News Brief, I'm Vicki Barker.